Good evening, everyone. Stephen Trammell here with you for the week of June 29th, 8th. Let's see, end of June. It's almost July.
End of June. That means we are halfway through 2020. This is Todd Reynolds joining you. Welcome.
Third quarter at work, and there's no real quarter system in Christianity. We're just plugging on.
No, yeah. That's purely a corporate world thing. Yeah. But halfway through 2020, man, I mean, who knew 2020 was going to hold what it has held?
Yeah, but it's been good. I mean, it's good to put things in perspective, good to have some spiritual discussions about things that otherwise you may not have talked about, and God hit the reset button.
Yeah, 100%. And COVID is this weird phenomenon that just keeps on perpetuating itself. I went down to Tampa this weekend to see my mom and dad, and a lot of stores, because Hillsborough County, where they live, has had a resurgence of cases, or a spike in cases. Like, we could not even go into anything without a mask.
Wow.
So that was super fun.
Yeah, it's getting that way. But I've reiterated to my children, it doesn't matter if you get COVID. Like, we're all dying. Everything's terminal. Your body, as is on a one-way ticket to the grave.
And yeah, there
so
you go.
Just don't get lost in that. Let's renew day by day our mind and our spirit, and
yeah, that's right.
Just refocus on God. So glad to have another podcast with you tonight, and or the morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to it.
Right.
And tonight's message is brought to you by Todd's Travels. You saw something cool in a billboard you wanted to share.
Yeah, I've been driving back and forth to Birmingham with my job recently, and I've seen this sign a number of times on 285. It's this giant billboard that says, "Experience God." It's got this huge picture of the pastor of some religious organization, some church down in Atlanta. But the message that this church wants to share on a billboard is experience God. What do you think about, Stephen, when you think about this idea or this advertisement, this marketing strategy? Come to our church to experience God.
Well, I'm glad my face isn't on a billboard, because well, it'd be driving people
10-4
in the wrong direction. But you do feel like, being a Christian for as long as I have, there's a marked difference between some groups of Christian and others, mainly around how people feel around spiritual gifts, God moving among them, perhaps. It's very emotional.
Right.
And our view of Christianity has been primarily, Bible-driven. You know, it's study,
right.
it's intellect, and there's no real place that emotion is demonstrated in kind of the work or worship of the church. And so when people talk about experiencing God, I know I'm probably not going to end up there.
Yeah, but I don't know if I totally agree with what you're saying about, you know, this idea of emotion not being prevalent in the work and worship. I mean, I think sometimes we need a little bit more of it. And I think at Mountain View, we have our fair share. I mean, in the worship, there's some emotion.
Let me clarify. I mean, external signs of emotion, like you're passing out, you know, you're falling, slain in the spirit.
Whoa, passing out?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay.
You know what
Point
I mean?
Taken.
Like
sorry,
just
I was
very, very charismatic, running down the aisles.
Yeah.
Holy rollers type things. And so, no, I mean, if you don't have the emotion of worshiping God, you're not worshiping in the spirit, right? I mean, your heart's not there. You can
yeah,
go through
right.
the ritual of it. I don't mean that. But when I'm talking about experiencing God, it comes across like a supernatural thing that you don't have unless you come to this church.
Yeah, perhaps so, but it certainly is a worthy goal for all of us to experience God. And I think that's what we want. I mean, we spend a lot of money on vacations for a quote-unquote experience. I mean, people spend thousands of dollars for a trip to Disney World for the Disney experience. But what greater goal than to experience God?
Yeah, no, I agree. Did you go to the church?
I don't want to answer that question. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was about to say.
No, definitely not. I just saw the sign a lot. And I thought about this passage in 1 John. I was beginning to read through 1 John recently, and I was impressed, and I've been impressed in the past. I shouldn't say that like it was just this first time that I had this epiphany. But when I think about this idea of experiencing God, the Apostle John starts his first epistle with some verses that basically says we've experienced God.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, yeah. Read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
All right. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think when John begins this short epistle, I mean, he says what that billboard is trying to convey. He says, we experienced God. He's like, we heard Him, we listened to Him, we saw Him, we touched Him. You know, the Apostle John was leaning on the Lord in their suppers or in their feasts. And he says, we experienced God. We experienced Jesus. And he says it's a powerful thing. And this eternal life was manifested to us. And that word manifest that's used in the scriptures many times, it's the idea of something that is just made known or made visible or shown or demonstrated. He says, we had front row seats to God. And he says, we want to share that with you. And so we're proclaiming it. We're telling you what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have experienced. And the intent, I think, is where he's going with it. He says, you know, you all can experience God too, right? You can have fellowship with us. We have fellowship with God. And ultimately, we all have fellowship with God. And we all experience Him. And just at face value, experiencing God is an amazing thing.
So better than Disney World, better than a trip to the Grand Canyon, all these things. I mean, if you could sign up for something, what you're saying is this is the experience that you want.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it sounds cliche, but I mean, it's 100% true. It is life-changing. It changes who you are to experience God. And you think about examples of people in the Bible who had experiences with God, and they weren't the same. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, right, when he sees the Lord high and lifted up and His train fills the temple, and he sees the seraphim. It's an amazing thing. He's like, right, I can't handle this.
So when you read this, I mean, at face value, you can appreciate what John's saying, but I can't experience Jesus the same way John did, or God. So you're going to help me out tonight with how I might can experience God?
Yeah, we're definitely going to get there. But I will say this. I think it was pretty awesome for the apostles to have the opportunity to be apostles.
Yeah.
Now, remember what Jesus said to Thomas, right? Thomas was like, except I see the nails in His hands, I will not believe. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's the category that we fall into. You know, Jesus has a special blessing for us who have not seen Him and yet believe in Him and demonstrate a life of faith and a life of obedience and a life of submission. And I think we have a wonderful experience of God, but I just can't help but think that it was a little more awesome to walk next to Jesus.
Well, they had the
2,000 years ago.
They had the VIP experience.
They had the VIP pass for like 3 years.
Yeah. And so we're not going to get that. Let me say before you dive into where you want to go, I think people are driven to want to seek an experience with God, maybe a deeper relationship, and just to feel that nearness to God or something special about that. And historically, people have done that through, you know, very weird ways. You think about the Shroud of Turin, and you remember what that was?
I do not.
You don't remember that?
The shroud?
That's the burial cloth that people say, oh, this was imprinted on Jesus. This is what laid on him in his tomb.
Wow.
And it has that, you know, the outline of it. It looks like the appearance of Jesus. And people will go, like, worship that and see that. You know, wooden pieces of the cross or, I mean, think about why people go to Israel to go walk the same roads and be like, man, there's the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus stood. And people value those type experiences because they see in that, man, it's almost like I can get as close to God as I can get.
Right.
And I don't, I'm not knocking Bible tours with Farrell Jenkins or whatever you want to go do, but realistically, we're not all going to get a chance to, you know, go do that or sit under an olive tree or a fig tree and hear someone proclaim some of these things like that Jesus might have said or did. So help us as Christians then, how can I experience God in the best possible way today?
Yeah, and there's a lot that we can unpack with that answer, but I think fundamentally, I mean, it starts with the Word of God. You know, simple truths like Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We hear the Word of God and faith germinates in our hearts. Now, there's some other things that might lead us to some thought about God, like the creation. Look at the beauty of creation. Like, wow, there's something bigger and greater than us, a creator. Somehow we got here and somehow these beautiful things that we behold with our eyes, they got here. But when you go back to the Word of God and the faith that the Word of God will produce, at some point, our heart is convicted of sin. And when our heart is convicted of sin, then we know we have a problem. And, you know, like in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, that's when Peter indicts them. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord of Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked to the heart. Their heart was cut. And when their heart was cut, they're experiencing God. Now, of course, they're standing in front of the apostles and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that's part of what we're saying. We don't have that same experience. But then you go back to verses in the Psalms where the psalmist says, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. David says that. Well, when our heart is convicted and we're pricked in it and we just know we've sinned and God says that I'm not going to despise a broken heart, like we will experience him in our brokenheartedness when we cry out to him and come to him in faith and submission and obedience. And like I can talk about it intellectually, I can't put my finger on it, but I know when I've experienced it in the past at different times, kind of in the way that I'm describing it now. And I know when I talk to people sometimes and they start articulating some ways in which, you know, their faith was strengthened or, you know, they had some experience with God, that it's a real thing. And that's a powerful faith that God has designed for us to obtain through his word and through the conviction in our heart of sin and then a subsequent life of obedience where we kind of just walk with him and experience him, you know, throughout life.
Yeah, let me add some things to it. You know, it's very easy to look at the Word of God and say, you know, oh, you know, what's so exciting about this? But think of it this way. God came to tell someone something, and they literally just turned around and told you.
Right.
Think about Moses on Mount Sinai for the first time.
Right.
Do you remember God was like, hey, I'm going to talk to all y'all at the same time. And you remember the people's response?
Can you just have Moses? Yeah, Moses, you just go talk to him and come tell us what he said.
Yeah, this is a little scary and intimidating, right? And so Moses went and shared that with him. I think about Samuel, right? Samuel is a young boy in chapter 3. Got a message from God.
Right.
And then what did he do when he woke up the next morning? He went and told Eli.
Yeah, right.
Now, did Eli experience God? Well, not quite the exact same way Samuel did, but he definitely experienced God.
I mean,
at the end of it, he said, all right, God can do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it is the Lord.
If I'm going to be punished, then I'm going to be punished.
Let him do what seems best to him.
And think about Paul. I mean, on the road, Jesus appeared in a vision. Not even people that were with him saw the same thing.
Right.
But guess what? He goes into town and Ananias tells him what he needs to do.
Right.
Did he experience God with Ananias? Sure.
Yeah.
It was what God said. And right. And so when Paul then turns around and tells us what God says, he's sharing from the Lord, this is what God wants you to experience.
Yeah.
And he even says, I was drug up into the third heaven. I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but let me tell you, this is what you need to know from this experience.
Right.
So don't minimize that they had all these special things. They went through these things so they can share it with us.
Yeah, that's right.
That was it. They didn't receive what was promised.
Right.
That apart from us, they wouldn't be made perfect. I mean, right. We're all in this together. And yeah. So it is experiencing God when you get to walk in their footsteps and see their journals and their writings and their thoughts. And I mean, we look online, Anna and I like going camping, and people want you to follow their travels and right. experience their experiences with them
right.
in photographs and blogs. And we've got the apostles' stuff right here. That's what John was saying. Like,
right.
we want to proclaim that which we've seen and heard.
Right.
So don't minimize the experience you've already got in your hands.
Right.
Because it's coming straight from God.
Yeah, exactly. Either the Bible came from God or it didn't, right? And if it did, and we certainly believe that it does, and we find eternal truth in it, then yeah, we are experiencing on these pages as we read it, right, the power of eternal life itself.
Yeah. And let me say one more thing. I feel like I'm preaching right now, but
no. I went for like 10 minutes. So you're still probably got like a 5 minute deficit. So keep going.
That's right. I do want to say one thing. The Bible has given us everything we need in order to find reconciliation with God.
Yeah, that's right.
There is nothing that you need to experience outside of what God has told you in order to end up where you want to end up.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not saying that God doesn't work in some providential, supernatural way. All I'm saying is, if you're thinking your life in God is incomplete outside of a further experience than what you can learn and see and understand from the Word, you're missing the point here. And
yeah.
There's no richer fulfillment that you're going to find outside of faith in Christ that comes from hearing the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right. And I've talked to a lot of people. I'm sure you've talked to as many or more. I mean, it doesn't matter. The point is, we've talked to a lot of people who something just hits them hard in life. And what's the answer? Well, whatever hit them so hard makes them think, I need to go to church, or I need to read my Bible. But I think those experiences are from God. I think God rattles our cage sometimes to get us to wake up and have that in the hog pen moment with the prodigal son to say, you know what, I need to get up and go to Dad's house, or go to my father's house, or go to church, or go read the Bible. But yeah, that's absolutely just a fundamental point that I think God does things to draw us back to his Word or to draw us to his church, but the salvation is found in the Word. You know, the salvation is found in the body of the saved people that, you know, God wants us to be a part of in the church.
And I want to get off on too much of a tangent, but I guess that's what these podcasts are. It's just a long tangent.
They're just giant tangents.
Giant tangent. But you remember reading through some of these old Christian histories from the last couple hundred years, and that was a big problem for some of the people like Alexander Campbell and others, Barton Stone, who were really having to get saved in an experimental way where they were, I mean, part of their salvation was explaining to a group of people your experience with God.
Yeah.
It was a special emotional moment where you knew for certain emotionally that this was a sign of your salvation. And it's an interesting read if you go read about that stuff. But here's the problem relying on some sort of supernatural experiment is all of that is extremely subjective.
Yeah, that's right.
In two ways. One way, you can feel like you had a moment where you just had this peace wash over you and you knew God was there.
Right.
But like Elijah, God may not be in that strong wind.
Right.
Or God may not be in that fire. And you may end up thinking,
right,
that surely this is the Lord. And right. It's not the Lord.
Right.
Conversely, Barton Stone, when he was converted, he was desperately waiting on this emotional moment and it never came.
Yeah.
And he heard Alexander Campbell preaching about baptism and heard Alexander Campbell say, guess what? You want assurance of your salvation? Guess what happens with baptism? Look at the language God's using to describe right. what's happening in baptism.
Right.
Baptism is that sign you've been looking for, that seal to know you're in a relationship with God.
Right.
And he was like, boom, I saw that. Here, I'm crying at night in tears, wanting assurance of my salvation and some right. emotional thing. And yet he found security in the confidence that what God said is true.
Just the fundamental truth.
And you trust in
right.
what God said is going to happen when you do these things. And so I think sometimes you just have to be careful when you're wanting to experience God, because you may feel like you experienced God and you didn't experience anything other than your own emotional state.
Right.
Or you may be waiting on an experience and God's like, hey, I already told you what to do.
Yeah, right.
Because at some point, a foolish generation seeks for a sign.
Right.
And Jesus is like, look, I've already given you a bunch of signs. Go read about them.
Yeah, exactly.
I already told you one, sign of the prophet Jonah. So anyway, all right, I'm done with my sermon.
No, well, definitely good thoughts. And, you know, just for the remaining time that we have, just want to talk a little bit about how we can experience God in our daily lives when we have come to him in faith, in obedience, with knowledge of his word, and then we're trying to walk with him. You know, our lives may feel pretty normal, or, you know, maybe not have the drama of some, you know, dramatic experience of God, but we'll experience him. And I've already mentioned that we can experience God in creation. You know, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And we see his handiwork in the creation. And I think that's definitely true. But one thing that's kind of struck me in my life as far as experiencing God is when I became a father. I mean, I went to the hospital when Zeke was born to be with Kelly because she was going to have an emergency C-section. And by the time I drove to the hospital, he was already born. And I just walked in and they just handed me my son, Zeke. And he was only 4 pounds. Like, he was tiny. But I have this little...
He's still 4 pounds.
Not exactly. He can eat 4 pounds at a single meal. But like, it's just an amazing thing when you hold your child in your arms for the first time as a father. And like, how do you experience God in that? Well, you have this creature and then all of a sudden you're responsible for him or her. And you have this great love for your children that's like unlike any love that you experience in other arenas of life, and it's stronger than any other. And it's like, wow, this is almost like what it's like to be God, right? To have like this creation that he cares for, and you have this child that you care for, and you have this strong love, and you're like, wait a second, God has spent like almost every page of the Bible telling us that he's our father, right? And 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, just a couple chapters over from where we were reading, you know, see what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Like, that's like the hallmark of his love. And as I've been a father now for like 18 years, I mean, it's just something where I feel like I've learned a lot about God and experienced like what I think God feels like sometimes, like the highs and lows of parenthood, like great joy, great success. And then, you know, at times just pure frustration, you know, which we see God as a father having for the Israelites, you know, Jesus kind of as a father for his disciples at times. And to me, that's been a powerful way that I've experienced God in being a physical earthly father to my kids.
Yeah. And I like the creation. We're talking about the physical things that you can touch.
Yeah.
And I mean, Romans 1 said that his invisible attributes are clearly seen.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, God goes so far to say that they're without excuse.
Yeah.
So it's not that hidden to where you can look around and say, well, I guess I have to go over here to experience God.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, if you look around the billboard,
yeah,
you experience God.
Yeah, right.
You look behind it.
Everything but the billboard.
Or above it. You're experiencing man with the picture of the man on the billboard.
Oh, and that could be a different experience altogether. Yeah,
that's right. You experience God. You appreciate all those things that he's made. I remember, and I think you might have had a similar experience, going out west and going to the Grand Canyon and going and standing on the rim, and you're there with people that have never been there, and a guy just starts singing, you know, How Great Thou Art.
Oh, yeah.
And you just want to start singing with him.
Right.
And, you know, it's an emotional thing, but people can see those things, and they can see God.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we need to get our head out of the TV, get our head out of the games, and go and sit outside.
Right.
And contemplate the vastness of everything God has created, the complexity, the beauty.
Yeah.
And ask yourself, is this, I'm seeing God.
Yeah, right.
And when God says you see this, guess what? I'm going to make everything new.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to create a new heavens and a new earth.
Yeah,
and so you're dependent on this imagery of the current situation in order to appreciate and understand the next. And so, yeah, I mean, the heavens declare his handiwork, just like you said. So not that I'm undermining my own children. No.
But I think that's kind of, that all goes together. I didn't want to spend as much time on the creation. I kind of mentioned it briefly before, but everything you've said is perfect. And I'll just say to anyone listening, come, you have an open invitation to come to Stephen's house and like look on his back porch at this beautiful panoramic landscape from the top of Sawney Mountain. It's the real mountain view.
Wow.
Right here.
Come one, come all, but it's come God's. One.
Wait a second. What, did you just invite everyone to my house?
Hey, anyone's welcome.
But on that point, the creation, like my children are just one small sliver of that. You know, I just want to emphasize that one point. But I think for a lot of people, yeah, it could be a lot of things that you see in creation or the first time you hold your child or any number of 100 other things that we're not even going to talk about.
And think about how knowing that truth, and that truth's revealed in the Bible, like you're not just pulling this out of thin air. Think about how Satan has tried to undermine that very fact so much.
Right.
To where people don't put confidence that God's behind any of this. This is all random. This is not God. Yeah. It's not God. And that's attacking the very word of God. It's attacking the nature. It's attacking who God is.
Yeah, that's right.
God made it, and Satan's going around saying, nope. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
And so I think it's sad to see how marginalized that would be, where normally you would get to experience God and even as a Gentile be led to accountability.
Right.
And so much of our society is like, you're an idiot for thinking that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, scientists go to the Grand Canyon and some guy's going to sing How Great Thou Art, and the scientist is going to be like, this is proof it's 2 billion years old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been cutting a path in here.
Yeah,
for all these years. And I'm just like, okay, well then every river should be the Grand Canyon. There should be Grand Canyons everywhere.
Exactly. That's a good point.
But there's just one.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough about that. What you got number two?
Number two, we experience God in our worship. I think when we come together as a church and we sing, man, when we sing, I mean, I think sometimes everyone is singing. I know when I'm leading at the church and everyone is just pouring their heart out to God, and there's certain ones that I see in the audience that I just know, I mean, their praise meter is like redlining. And we collectively, as a body of Christians, help each other as we worship to experience God.
Yeah, it's I wish it was, and this is just my own, you know, manness thinking. I mean, you wish God would come down in a cloud or a pillar of fire and fill the place so you can be like, oh yeah, that, but that still wouldn't be God. I mean, God's not a cloud and he's not a pillar.
Right.
You know, it's kind of that image of what's behind it.
Right.
We as Christians, more intelligently, because God revealed it, know God is spirit and doesn't need a physical manifestation to make you think he's there. Like, we know he's there.
Right.
And he has a special thing that he says, you know, when two or three people are gathered, I'm in the midst of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he's like especially there when we're coming together. I mean, some verses talk about communion in a way that it's not just communion with each other, but it's communion with Jesus.
That's right.
And we're all kind of sharing, just like he shared with his disciples, his body and his blood. And so we're kind of continuing that there. So in a very real way, we're coming together with God, and God is there.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, obviously I didn't want us to have a debate about the emotional, you know, point at the beginning, but I just feel like there is an opportunity and an experience that we have in worship that includes our mind, but also includes our heart and our emotions. And all of that entire experience is an opportunity to experience God. And, you know, I think worship is just a key fundamental way that we experience him. I think we experience it when we worship in song. I mean, that's a very powerful thing that God has given us that kind of touches our emotions, but we experience him in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I mean, just what you said a moment ago about some of the verses, 1 Corinthians 10.
1 Corinthians 16,
yeah. Yeah, like the fellowship that we have with him and the cup, right? We're joined to him. But that word communion, I mean, the word union there is like this oneness with God through that. But we have it through the proclamation of his word. I mean, I think when you get up and preach and you're just, you know, preaching in the Spirit and you're preaching the word of God that is revealed to us, you know, we experience God through that because we're listening. I mean, we're listening to Stephen, but we're listening to God speak through his word, through your proclamation of it. And a lot of times, you know, we leave spiritually edified, fortified, you know, strengthened, built up, exhorted, maybe admonished. But all of those things are things God has for us.
Well, and I appreciate your point about singing because, you know, God could have said, all right, I want everybody to come here on Sundays and stand on their head for 3 minutes, then you can leave. The singing's for us.
Yeah.
The singing, obviously, it's to God.
Right.
But the intent is, God doesn't have ears like we do in the sense that he's hearing those things. God knows what it's going to do to us. And like you said, he's choosing that to be something that is beautiful, representative of him, but also encouraging one another, singing to one another, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so part of it is intending to stir the emotions. And I mean, you don't have to look far to look in the Bible to see how beneficial music was throughout all the pages. I mean, even Saul is listening to some tunes from David when he was feeling down. And it make him feel better. And so, God has given us some of those things to touch our hearts. I think I would just bookend it by saying, when you worship in spirit and in truth, knowing what I know about God, I can feel confident in my emotions. If it was just empty emotions that can be stirred up by loud music, you can feel something in a rock concert. You can feel a lot of things at other places. And I don't mean God was there.
Right.
But knowing what God says and us doing those things and believing God's there, then that emotion can have a deeper meaning than it would have had otherwise.
Right.
Because I'm going to emotion at Six Flags.
Right.
But I want to combine those two together.
Right.
So when truth and spirit are married, then I can feel confident in my worship to God.
Yeah, and experience him. You know, one thing I want to throw in here real quick for our thoughts about the church at Mountain View as a community of believers. I was thinking about this verse that hit me earlier today, Genesis 28:16, when Jacob is on the run from Esau and he's sleeping, he's alone, he's a fugitive, he's on the way to Laban and Laban's house. But God comes to him in this dream, right? And it's this Jacob's ladder and the angels ascending. And when Jacob wakes up in Genesis 28:16, he says, "Surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it." He's like, man, I just had this place. I experienced God in this place, and I didn't even know he was here. And the relevance that has to this podcast and this idea of experiencing God in worship is when we experience God and worship collectively as a community of believers, then we kind of radiate his glory. And when someone comes into the church as a visitor and they worship with us, and we're all experiencing God, And then they come in and kind of experience our experience. And they could walk out of the Mountain View Church and be like, the Lord is in this place. I didn't even know he was here. Right. And yeah. It's a powerful thing. And that's kind of, I think, what God intends the church to be. Obviously, it's the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But it's like this beacon of light for some lost, wandering soul, you know, or anyone who will come to experience him.
Yeah. I mean, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about, you know, an unbeliever coming in and experiencing that worship and then really being stirred by that experience.
Yeah.
And giving glory to God because he was there at the worship.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that 1 Corinthians 14? I don't know if I can dig it up real quick off the cuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's right, because that's when he's talking about edification, speaking in tongues.
Yeah. All right. Point number three.
Point number three is we experience God through serving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, there are times when a brother or sister in Christ has helped me, or when maybe I've helped them, and it's like God has put us on this earth to be his representatives. So then when we're doing these good works to serve each other, or why, you know, Jesus says, John 13:15, after he washed all their feet, he said, I've given you this example so you can do this to each other, you know, serve each other, wash each other's feet, take care of each other. And when we do that, like, we're his representatives. So, you know, you and I might go do something for someone and they're going to experience God through us. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, there's times when people have done some things for me that have been super helpful, or I really was in desperate need. And I feel like, you know, as I pray to God and seek him, like, he'll just send someone my way and I will benefit from their service to me. But I'm experiencing God, and it's like, you know, that is the Spirit of Christ residing in the hearts and minds of those individuals who have come to serve me. But to God be the glory, and praise God that there are men and women to be his servants. It's like that song, The World's Bible. Remember that? Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. No feet but our feet to lead men in the way. And the message of that song is we're the only Bible. A lot of people that are pretty careless in this world, we're the only Bible they're ever going to read, right? So hopefully we can have the Spirit of Christ and people can experience God through us.
Well, and when you think about the best people you've ever interacted with.
Oh, man.
I mean, are they not Christians?
Absolutely.
And we interact with a lot of different people. We work with a lot of non-Christians. Yeah. We interact with them in sports and other things. You don't trade a godly person.
You don't
ditch a... I mean,
man, when you're stuck down on the side of the road, who do you want but a fuddy-duddy Bible thumper to stop and help you out? Because they're going to help you out.
Well, but they have spent their life trying to be conformed to the image of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
And that comes across in their actions, their demeanor, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why when you see your kids or whoever getting close in relationships with people that aren't Christians, you're like,
yeah,
I know they're funny or attractive, but you don't know what you're going to miss out on.
Yeah.
With someone that really is going to take care of you, treat you right, forgive you when you do dumb things.
Right.
Be there to be generous and helpful.
Right.
And pick you up when you're down, encourage you, edify you.
Right.
I mean, all the things that we find in people of God, and you really are seeing Christ in someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not seeing you. You're seeing Christ in you.
Yeah, right,
and,
right.
And so Paul says, it's no longer I who lives.
Right.
But Christ. And so, yeah, when you experience a brother or sister that has become Christ in that sense,
right,
you really are. I mean, you're experiencing God. That's why I want to knock people that don't want to come to church. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't even make walking around sense, to quote a famous preacher.
Well, and when a new family comes in, you know, to church, or you know, new members added or baptized, you're just like, this is great. I can't wait to get to know you.
Come
you
one,
already,
come all.
You already know the kind of person that they aspire to be.
Right, right.
And you don't look at new people thinking, oh, this is going to be bad.
Right.
They're trouble.
Yeah, right, right.
You're always thinking that.
No, you're like, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. And, and you're a brother or sister and whatever. So if you're wanting to experience God, man, develop relationships with believers. Be a part of a local church and dig in and get your feet wet and stop just running out the door.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. Even though we force you out the door now.
Well, yeah, it's a different world now. I mean, like I was even thinking, like how big would the new church building have to be to social distance and still have 300 people on it?
Probably figuring it out.
I mean, someone's figuring it out, but someone needs to be putting some extra nickels together.
6 feet. This was good thoughts tonight. They were good things. Did you have a fourth point you wanted to make?
No.
Capping off at three?
No, I think we're going to cap it off at three. I think I've said way more than I need to as far as the allotted time.
But back to your original point. You want to experience God. You want to feel like you have a relationship with God. You want to feel like you know God. And as close as you want to be to Him, you want to feel like He is to you.
Yes, right.
And these are some ways that through the Word itself, God articulates how He is near to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Through the blessings of others, through the world that He's made to show His goodness and kindness. And in general, you're experiencing God every day if you would just get your head out of the sand and recognize it.
That's right.
And praise Him and honor Him for that.
That's right. And we're going to have experiences with our fellow man that are going to be pretty disappointing. We're going to have experiences maybe even with Satan and giving into temptation and giving into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And those are going to be really unpleasant experiences. But when you have some unpleasant experiences with experiencing man or experiencing Satan, and then you come to experience God, it's like, wow, praise God.
Yeah. I'm reminded as we close of Acts 17, where Paul's talking to some Gentiles about God. People that were wanting to experience God, people that sought God in every way possible.
Right.
And he goes and says, yet he's not actually far from each one of us.
That's right.
For in him we live and move and have our being. As even your own poets have said, we are his offspring.
Right.
You ought to see God in yourself. God has put his image on you.
Yeah.
We are made in the image of God. We're his children. We're his offspring.
Right.
And so there's something unique and special about us, the consciousness, the morality, the understanding that speaks to who God is.
Right.
And man, he says, if you would just reach out and find him, you would experience God. You would see God.
Yeah, exactly. And just to add to that, James 4, where James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, right? You know, you scoot closer to someone and then they scoot closer to you. It's kind of
you're there.
Kind of a nice thing. But with God, when we do that, he says he just draws near to us. And that's part of how we experience God in addition to, you know, all the things we've been talking about with the Word of God, the creation of God, the worship of God, and then the family of God.
No, I appreciate your time tonight. Just pray for everybody's safety. I know cases are spiking, but hey, maybe the podcast cases will spike too.
10-4.
Just appreciate y'all. Look forward to worshiping with you, Lord willing, Sunday in whatever capacity. And if you need anything, I guess Todd's already invited you over, so just show on up.
Yeah, or text me.
God bless you all. We'll talk to you soon.
The Lord bless you and keep you.